Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. What is today? It's the 26th. June 26th, 2011. Been watching all that Casey Anthony trial. It's been real interesting. Anyhow, let's continue on with where we left off last week. And then we have some new stuff.
And the energy comes to a point right here and neutralizes. And so this energy, which is radionic energy, is coming to a point. We put a gemstone here and send it back this way through this hole in the back, the receptor, and then there's this pattern around here, okay, which is called a Yanan Mantran. If you look at it up close, you can see it. That energy then comes back. Now, remember, we showed you how the aura field is working on a human, okay? And the aura field on a human, we showed you how it's generated. It has all those colors in it, okay? Now, what happens is, and let's say we're treating that person with homeopathic medicine. How many of you in here have some background or understanding, a little bit of knowledge of homeopathic medicine? Then most of you know that if you have a 10x solution in homeopathic medicine, you have a solution, let's say it's 100 milliliters of something, okay? And in there, you have a tenth of some poison. You put a tenth of some poison in there, because like, here's like. So you got a tenth in there. Now, if we go to 1,000 times power, we increase the solution to 1,000, we have a 100 milliliter solution, we've only got a 0.1 amount of that poison in there. We haven't increased the amount of the poison or the solution in here to make this thing work. We've decreased it. And if we've got 10,000, there's just a trace of it in there. So the water obviously would have to be pure, or if we used alcohol, it would have to be pure. Same thing here with the stone. The stone, we use pure stones. We use synthetic, which are laboratory growing, for a certain frequency of individual, and we use natural for another frequency of individual. Depends on your frequency, which one we're going to use. And what we're doing with the receptor, we're dealing with this whole thing, this whole aura structure is made up of what? Oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. The carbon atom, we've talked about that. The whole structure. And what happens is, the whole structure is based on oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. The hydrogen atom we're dealing with now, if that hydrogen atom is askew in any way, that person is askew in their frequency. And everybody is. So you muscle test to find out what color, and in the case of, let's say, blue for the heart, we put the perfect sapphire out there, we shoot one line of force, just one line of force of the aura field, just one little line. And it comes back and immediately gets induced right to the core that sucks it right in those hydrogen atoms, and boom, suddenly, in 10 seconds, that whole aura field, boom, blue is now stable. It's what it should be. Before it was drifting, now it's stable. Now that person won't produce free radicals quite as easily until maybe they wear the thing for a year or so and then they go to green. Maybe they'll go to violet. By the time they get to violet, there's no free radical damage. The body has changed in 3 years. But that's how it works. That's how this technology works. And we do it on a mini scale, or we do it on a giant scale. In the giant scale, you start sucking the environment in. Okay, now let me get my slide projector here. Oh, I wanted to show you one other thing real quick, and I want to answer her question about Andromedans. I'm getting ahead of myself. The anti-ELF device at Star Orb that we showed, here's a typical installation. How many of you have heard something?
Going to wait and see if that switches sides. Sometimes it does. I'm not sure that we heard that. It was a long dissertation on that tape. So now we're waiting to see if there's something on the other side of it here. Actually, I'll do. I'll pull it out and flip it over, because some of these are continued on a second tape. So we'll know here in a minute. If not, I've got a perfect tape that goes right alongside of this one. And I don't think we have anything on here.
He also got a hold of Myrna Hansen. Myrna Hansen was one of the first ladies to be documented. I mean, you go on and watch a Jerry Springer show now, and you'll see people have been abducted by aliens. It's getting so common, but back in these days, in 1981, Myrna Hansen and her daughter were abducted by Grace. She was implanted. I have an extra photograph of her brain here somewhere. It's got two implants in it. was done, found out by CAT scan. And when she was implanted, he did a post-hypnosis thing on her afterwards and found out, as this is what, it was the beginning before some of these other newer guys that are writing about this now. This is the very beginning of it, before the guy, for example, at Harvard got into it, Mack, John Mack, and all these guys that are into it now. He was the first. And he retro-hypnotized Myrna Hansen one day. And when he brought her down to consciousness of being abducted, because she had missing time, and they found out that she was being taken up, she described the cattle mutilation, she described the implant, her own implanting process. During that hypnosis session, the grays came into her subconscious, because they're so tuned in on one level, and started interfering with the hypnotic session and erasing stuff. So what he did is he went outside, he got an idea, and he went out and he brought her back and he took her out into what's called a screen room. He took her into a screen room. And a screen room is like a room like this with copper all around it. We do a lot of times when we're tuning, when I was in the Air Force, we would be tuning up, let's say, a transmitter to go into an aircraft that's secret frequencies. And we don't want outside frequencies affecting our tuning job. So you couldn't just tune it in any ordinary room. You had to take it into a room that simulated the aircraft as metal all the way around it and tune it in there. Okay? So he took her into a screen room and put her in there and hypnotized her in there, and the grays didn't interfere. Okay? This is back when we were learning about our ELF stuff. So what happens is we create a screen room in your house with that device. Is that still on the board there? Let me back it up. You don't know what I'm talking about. There's lots of devices here. Can't cover them all. That one. So what we do is, let's say you're in a room. This is a room. Okay? Now, ELF comes two places. Comes up through the ground into your power line. You have these plugs, you know, that look like this, right? So one on this side of the room and then the other one on the other side of the room. You got a plug, you got two vertical things where the socket goes in, and you got that round pin. You know about that, right? Okay. ELF comes in through that way because in submarine communications, what they found, that's where it was developed, that they found that they put a stake way down into the center of the earth, like a mile or two down. It generates energy, ELF carriers through the earth stratus, through the different layers of the earth, okay, through the water table. The water table is an excellent source. When you look at a generator, like a power plant somewhere, like a nuclear power plant or any power plant, waterfall, doesn't matter, electricity is coming out in one big high tension wire. On the other side of that power plant, they don't send two wires out of a power plant to your home. They send one and ground it, a high tension wire. When it gets to your house or your local distribution center, then it becomes two wires, by which it comes into your house, because the local distribution takes the one wire and they go into ground, okay? So the ELF comes in through here, through the ground. Okay, that's one form of, and it goes into your body. If I have time, I'll show you what it does to your body real quick. So we're running out of time. We got like 10 minutes left. Okay, now, so that then it comes into your socket, okay? The other form is the Heart Project, where it comes directly from radiation propagated from space, which is even more dangerous, okay? So you got to get rid of it. So what you do is, first of all, you hang this on the ceiling and you run a wire outside the ground. This is your return wire. This is where you get rid of it. Now, this is an antenna, okay? The worst shape you could be in is a square, okay? The best shape you could be in is a pyramid, and the one in between would be a dome, okay, or a semicircle. So what happens is these rays are bouncing all over the place. Well, this is hanging there. It collects them. It collects the rays. It absorbs the energy. It doesn't get rid of them. They're going to go through, but it absorbs them. Then it goes to ground. The next place you're getting it from is all your appliances. As soon as you turn on your radio, or your, basically more like your TV or your lamps, you turn a lamp on, let's say, ELF is going through the wire up to the bulb, incandescing through the bulb, spreading out through the bulb, coming back down again. So what happens is you got to ground that light. So what you do is you go down to your circuit breakers in your house and you turn all the appliances on in that house, in that room, because you do one room at a time. So you turn all the appliances on. You see the lamp go on, TV goes on, radio goes on. Then you go down and you flip, you have somebody in the room, you flip a circuit breaker and they say, okay, this side of the room went off, this side's still on. So you flip another circuit breaker. Now that side went off. So two circuit breakers, there's two ground circuits, right? So now what you do is you take another wire and you come down here to this ground, that's one circuit, hook it to the pin wire, not the vertical wire, the little round wire. And you come down with another wire over here, and you hook it into the pin wire there, and now you don't have ELF in your house. Okay, that's how you deal with it, like that. And you go room by room. And some of the houses that I've worked with in the past, with people that are more in aware of this, and what it really does is we've wired these things into their house as the framework goes up. You know, that's basically, I work with contractors. We just wire the whole, this extra wire system is wired in this, and this thing is hidden somewhere in the attic, so that you can actually handle the whole house. But in my case, my house wasn't built that way. I got a bunch of little wires running off of mine through different places in the house. Okay. Now, another thing, she asked what Andromedans were over there about six times. Andromedans live about 5,000 years. They come from a galaxy. What? Yeah, they're human-like. Okay, the grays look like Steven Spielberg's animals, or Communion. You know, Whitley Strieber's book Communion. They had a picture of one. Those almondi, that small, you know, funny-looking skin, gray-looking skin, thin but very strong creature, usually with a kind of a strange smell to them too, because of the way their organs work. Andromedans would look like Pleiadians, although they're more Castilian. And Pleiadians look Nordic. They look like Morgan Fairchild. She's a perfect example of that kind of a nose and those kind of eyes and those kind of features. Very, very well-defined faces in the women. The men look like Swedish men, good-looking Swedish men. Okay, they're bigger. The men are about 6 feet. The women are about 5 feet in Pleiadians. So, her mother is a little bit taller. But Pleiadians, women are very short, and the men are quite tall, usually. Her father is medium height, about my size. The Andromedans are about the average size of people in here. They look Castilian, if you look at them visually. They look very Castilian, kind of like a tan almost. Dark hair, dark eyes, brown eyes. Pleiadians, blue eyes. Andromedans, almost always brown eyes, rarely blue. But if you took a picture of an Andromedan and you try to develop it, you'd end up with something that would look about like this. Okay? Just about as much you'd get. Something like this. Look like a snowman or something, because of the way their aura fields are. Because they don't actually look like that. They project that. Andromedans are physical. They're energy beings. They assimilate form when they're around form. They can go out of form. Andromedans live 5,000 years average, and then they somehow dissolve themselves and come back in 5 minutes. And they completely absorb their field. This is deeper stuff. We have five seed atoms in our body. You have five atoms in your body that you've had since the beginning of creation. Five atoms. They've always been there, those characteristics. And you'll take those forever with you. And they tap into that directly somehow. Okay? Andromedans don't care about karma. It doesn't mean a damn thing to them. They're beyond karma. They're not gods. The Pleiadians aren't gods. The Andromedans are more advanced. We call them the highway patrol of the galaxy. That's what we call them. They enforce things. When some planet like Earth has a negative aura field that's radiating out into space, when some planet like Earth starts screwing around with its troposphere and its mesosphere with heart projects, starts putting nuclear warheads on Galileo spaceships and sending them out to Jupiter and all the shit we've done, they get involved real quick. And what they do when they come in, first of all, is they stabilize the planet. The Andromedans have stabilized the tectonic plates of this planet. And what they'll do, from what I hear, right, as things stand now, there won't be any big one anywhere. Okay, there's going to be a lot of small earthquakes. They'll start rattling L.A. in another month. This is the time of year they rattle L.A. to settle it. But there won't be any big ones unless they deem it's necessary. But what they are doing in divine intervention is they have introduced a field into the earth, and they started in 1993. They introduced a field, and they're going to sweep the earth with this field. And what it is the earth has a north pole and a south pole in its magnetic field. It's 16 degrees off true north, okay, in this hemisphere. When you have magnetism, as we spoke earlier, like the magnet of a compass, you have electricity at right angles, okay? With the electricity and the magnetism at right angles creates a third field, which is called the Seebeck effect, which you're probably not aware of. In magnetic therapy, one of the pitfalls of magnetic therapy is it's polarized. And the Seebeck effect, which is the kind of magnetism humans have, is a non-polarized magnetic field. You could look at it as a series of north and south fields occurring in micro inches rather than a north and a south. Okay, the Earth is also that way, although the Earth reads a giant field because it has a tremendous liquid molten core and it behaves like a crystal. At night when you go to sleep, you try to align yourself, because if you align yourself with this field here. By the way, this field can be duplicated in science by taking a piece of nickel wire and a piece of copper wire and spiraling it like that. And depending on the electricity, you can make this thing produce magnetism with no field. And depending on the polarity, you can make it get hot or cold. It's called Alnico. You can make it hot or cold. This is thermal. You can buy these things now that use this principle, where the batteries and they have a cooler. It's just a wire in there. Okay. This is how the Earth works. Now, what the Andromedans have done, starting in 1993, they came in, they began, and this goes from zero, I think she said zero, to 4 degrees. That's all it is. What happens is, if you were to look at this field with a microscope or a magnifying glass, this is the way it would be now. Here's magnetism, okay? Here's electricity, okay? There's also this flux that's in there at a higher frequency that's exactly like that. This is called by the Tibetans the anima mundi. When you go to sleep at night, your body usually heats up, and for the first few hours, you burn up 80% of your nutrition. Your electrical fields are much higher, okay, than they normally are. Okay, as you go through the night, when you go into rapid eye movement sleep, further into sleep, which is called REM sleep, you now transition from 2 inches out of your body. You know how you lay down? You lay down at night, you're laying there, and all of a sudden you get that jumping sensation. Okay, what happens is your body is decompressed, it's gone into this anima mundi sleep, and the aura is out 2 inches. It has to go out 13 feet after this, after it detoxes. 13 feet it connects into the astral plane. The astral plane starts getting a feedback. As soon as there's feedback, you start dreaming, REM sleep. What's so important about the REM sleep is that in your biological and your spiritual family, a lot of you are disincarnated. A lot of you have to have teachers. A lot of you have a lot of lessons to learn. We're all here for that. So in REM sleep, you're constantly working on the astral plane, getting all the feedback you don't get here. That keeps your sanity. You disconnect that, you go crazy. Now what happens is, what the Andromedans did is the first phase of this. Oh, by the way, you get a jumping sensation when you sleep in a pyramid. That goes away. The pyramid is a perfect shield. Everybody in here should be sleeping in one. We make them and we manufacture them. You can get our brochures. What happens is, when you go to sleep in the anima mundi field, you charge up. That's why they say go to the north. The Andromedans have shifted this field. I forget, you know, if you divide 97 into 4, whatever that number is how many degrees per year that shift. And at the end of the year 2000, this anima mundi field will be over here. And that here, even though the Earth's magnetic field will be the same, but the anima mundi field will be over here 4 degrees. That means a good population of our planet will either be dead or dying by that time. And this really affects or afflicts people with high degrees of intellect. Okay, it strikes them quicker than anything. So what's driving our planet? Intellect off the course. So they have directly launched a change in frequency here, which they're maintaining, and that's going to kill off. Like Einstein said, the only way you can get rid of them is let them die off. The growth-resistant generation, you know. They have to go away. So these trilads and these other people that are causing all the crap are going to be dead real soon. You know, that's part of the program. There's a lot more, but I mean, that's just some of it. Okay, I got about 2 minutes. Is there any other questions you guys want? Yeah. Yeah. A tracking device?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen CIA devices that small, that radio sound transmitters that aren't much bigger than a mole.
But
microcircuitry.
No, but they're actually a part of the skin under.
Well, there's all different types of devices. I don't know what all I've seen, you know. They have devices like, for example, implants that go in people's heads. They use a holographic process. And the holographic process, what the Grays use, is they project the circuitry right down inside the person's head. And the minerals in your body form the circuits. The electrolytes in the brain power it, and in your spinal cord is the antenna. I mean, I've seen that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah. Not for a while. There's indefinitely postponed right now because of this other stuff that's going on here. Indefinitely postponed. Yeah, there's going to be changes. There are changes going on, but there's not going to be this giant thing and the spaceships come out of the sky. Nothing like that. People have to wallow in their own mire. Yeah.
Well,
I don't have, that's another seminar, but they do exist, you know. I cover that in my Laguna Beach seminar, and a little bit of it's on a tape series. Yeah, you have to see, the Pleiadians, 60% of their life they spend in horticulture, because they say the next to be nature, next to nature is to be next to God, and they start with the bee kingdom. And I got most of my training from them, not about rocket ships and earth changes, but about horticulture and plants and animals and things. I mean, that's what they taught me, but I don't have the time to go into all that. Yeah. Yeah, you see that all goes back to putting, we found that, I developed a protein powder that you take breastfed children off the mother and put them on this, and it all starts back when they stop breastfeeding and they go on the Seago and all them sugars. Those sugars, the average person produces 3.5 quarts of glycol, a form of alcoholic and antifreeze, in their brain from 14 Pepsi-Colas or whatever during the day. All the alcoholism in children at young age is from sugar addiction at infancy. That's where it all stems from, and it goes right in the DNA. And it's just as hard to kick them as an alky going to an AA meeting. There's no difference. And it's even harder because it's ingrained in their DNA. It's not irreversible, but it's a whole other ballpark, Yeah.
Do you wear your receptor 24 hours a day?
No, I just take it off at night and then I go inside of a pyramid. Okay, yeah.
I heard through channeled sources that the DNA is being reprogrammed.
Yeah, it is. But you have to work with it because it's being reprogrammed to the negative unless you do something positive. But I didn't get a chance to explain to you. Basically, what I was going to explain here, I don't have time now, is a drawing. That ELF, in the process of absorbing protein, of course, makes hormones. What happens with ELF is that it creates negative proteins. That's why you have all this anger and stuff. And I was going to show you chemically here, but I ran out of time now to do that. They're going to kick us out now because another speaker's coming in. Anyhow, we got to go. Thanks a lot.
Well, that was fun listening to that one. Haven't heard that in a while. So we'll now go on. We'll keep that subject alive. And we'll go on to the next one, which will be some fun. Similar topics, but different explanations. Let's see what we got here.
Morning to you, Southern California. You are tuned to your talk alternative, 93.5 KFOX. It is now time for Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Now live from Laguna Beach, California, here is Dr. Fred Bell. Dr. Bell, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
Now, what is all this I hear about a crash?
Well, I crashed my flying saucer on the freeway this morning on the way back from Venus last night. Had a late date.
Well, that's what happens when you go out of town with those things.
Well, I had some of that Venusian milkshake, and it absolutely got me real crazy on the control stick.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Well, I know that, but according to Kimberly, I'm looking out, beautiful Laguna Beach is all cloudy,
Yeah.
She made it cloudy here. She talked about her chariot all morning here.
Well, she had a very upsetting experience that I can identify with.
Well, I've had a few of those, It's really rough when I get on my motorcycle and have the same experience,
Yes. Did you get a chance to hear Frederick, by the way, this morning?
No, I didn't get a chance to hear him earlier enough. Could you reiterate?
Well, I can't because I'm not Frederick. All I can tell you is that Frederick is one of the most articulate, overwhelming personalities I have ever met. He is very well-versed in the Vedas.
Uh-huh.
He is steeped in Hindu philosophy.
Right.
And he claims to be from Arcturus. And that is about all I'm going to comment on in Frederick. We're going to have him back. And he stimulated a lot of calls and was very, very fascinating.
Sounds like you guys had a lot of fun this morning.
Oh, I had a lot of fun. I was just sorry to hear about Kimberly. That was terrible, and I'm sure she'll rebound from that, though.
Yeah, well, if I'd have had my act together, I wouldn't have got back from Venus so late last night.
Were you taking some psychedelics or something?
No, I would like to, though. No, actually, the best I could do is a glass of wine late at night. You know, I gave up psychedelics a while back because the problem was, you know, I found that I don't come down from those things, you know. I take them and I just go out, you know, forever. Matter of fact, I have to eat a lot of meat these days to even stay down because I get the same effect from eating, you know, vegetables and raw foods that most people do from psychedelics.
Now that is fascinating.
Yeah, right? It's true, you know. Well, you know, yesterday we were talking about the system, you know, we started getting into how to align it and what it does. But
yes.
Having been in one for 14 years, I'll tell you, Jim, back in the early 70s and late 60s, yes, I did take a few psychedelics, like every day, you know, for about a year after I sold my electronics company because I was, like, running away from everything. Today, my attitude is accept everything, but in those days, I didn't know any better.
Yes, well, you're one these days that preaches purity of body and mind.
Yeah, but, you know, what was interesting is what I strived back in those days when I would come down from, like, psilocybin was my big thing in those days, but when I would come down from the experience, I would ground out for a couple of days. I was a strict vegetarian then, and I'd go back up again. You know, I just couldn't be on this plane. I couldn't be bothered with the mundane things that happened on the Earth-type plane. Today, realize this is after the time machine, right, which we've talked about in previous shows, after the time machine, which showed me that everything is happening now, you know, right now, like the most dearly thing that I could be doing right now is talking to you, you know. For you and I to exchange energy is the best thing that could ever happen at this point in time because that's what we're supposed to be doing. And our interchange is shared by lots and lots and lots of listeners. That, you know, to make that statement 10 years ago, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, all right, Jim, you know, you believe what you believe in. I believe what I believe in. I'll see you later, you know. But today, you know, it's like, you know, I've learned about seasoning, about spice, because, you know, the future is right now. We can take off any time we want. Now, you know, the more grounded out that you become through whatever means that you use to become grounded out, you know, when you do lift off, because you're grounded out, you lift off entire segments of society with you, which is natural. You know what I mean? And it's our job, it's your job, and it's my job to have these kinds of communiques that we have on the phone here and on the air with all of our listeners because we are raising consciousness at the moment that we share new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage every listener out there to share new ideas, whether they be good or whether they be bad, whether you're insecure about them or whether you're confident about them, share them with your friends because sharing is just so important, you know. Sound like Kimberly Hart now, don't I?
Well, I was thinking, I agree with what you say. I think that we should constantly hypothesize new ideas, and then we should try and validate them with evidence from the real world.
Yeah, no, I totally realize that and totally agree with you 100%, you know. But anyway, you know, back in the 60s when I was doing all this crazy stuff in the early 70s, to get high, at some point in time I realized the idea is not to get high, it's to be high, you know, all the time. So today, you know, I have to go out and find myself at least twice a week eating some meat, you know, which I wouldn't have done back in the early 70s, late 60s when I was a strict vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was absolutely revolting to think about, you know, killing an animal to sustain my own life, you know. Realize that when you harvest the plant, you're doing the same thing on a more, you know, lesser level. But the fact is, what you have to do is give thanks, you know. You have to revere what is being put into your stomach. You know, that's like saying a prayer over each meal, which I've learned to do.
But, you know, I let me just stop you there for 1 second, because I think you made a very important point when you were talking about the essence of life in both the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. If you are a vegetarian, and again, I'm throwing this out as an opinion, it would seem to me that what you are doing is giving the animal kingdom preference over the, or you're showing more reverence towards the animal kingdom because you won't kill them, but you're perfectly willing to eat the vegetable kingdom, the plant kingdom.
That's totally true. And what it boils down to is good old karma, you know.
Uh-huh.
When you eat a vegetable, you take on a certain karma that in a period of time makes you very yinned out. When you get into the animal, it's, you know, called the yang energy. But the fact is, you need to balance the two. Someday, we'll reach a point where we become breatharians, and we'll only breathe the oxygen, you know, of the earth and the nitrogen of the earth, and transmute the energy. Meanwhile, the animal is giving a willing sacrifice to him. And, you know, you can go out and make headlines all over the world, or I could go out and make headlines all over the world about how inhumane it is to kill an animal for us to live. But the fact is, if either one of us did that, it would have no effect on society for more than a few milliseconds.
Right. As a matter of fact, right now, it's interesting you bring that up, because there's a lot of controversy over the little baby that had the baboon's heart implanted.
Yeah, that's real interesting, you know, that kind of heart transplant.
But some people don't believe that it was right to kill the young baboon so that the young baby could live.
Well, you know, it's like about 3 or 4 days ago, you guys had reached a really intimate conversation when you were talking about ultrasound and observing an abortion and how the young fetus was reacting to the tongs of the doctor that was going in there, and how after he had seen that on the ultrasound, he never did an abortion again. And at that point in time, I remember that you and the doctor that you were talking to had made the comment, at what point does a soul enter onto the scene? You know, that was one of the questions that I asked one of my Tibetan teachers a long time ago.
And the answer?
Well, the answer was very simple. The soul overshadows the mother and the father long before the child is, you know, inseminated or is beginning. The soul is like remember we talked about the bee and the beehive and the angel?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, the soul overshadows, you know, the mother and the father. I don't really know where it begins, but it's somewhere at the point in the relationship when they're like heavy dating or any kind of seriousness or commitments are made. That much I learned from the Tibetans, that the overshadowing begins there. And as the mother, once the mother gets pregnant, the soul, the sphere of influence, which is called a ring pass knot by the Tibetans, as the fetus becomes more and more, you know, alive and more larger and large in the woman's stomach, it's the soul level on the physical plane becomes less and less and less, the sphere of influence. For example, when the opposite of that one would be a person that died, say, on the operating table. My grandfather was the first case in New York to do that. And then 6 hours later, he woke up in the Buffalo morgue, you know. He was pronounced dead, but he wakes up in the morgue in a refrigerated section, wide awake, you know, and alive. He had had this experience of all around his periphery and an experience of his wife that had died of cancer 10 years before that, my grandmother. Well, imagine the reverse of that. And it's common sense if you think about it. The soul that overshadows the mother and the father becomes less and less, the sphere of influence, which is called a ring pass knot, becomes less and less and less as the fetus reaches maturation towards expression on the physical plane. So the soul, which is presiding over the mother and father, loses its power and slowly surrenders to the birth state, the state of birth. Because at that point, it's the same thing as my grandfather went through, or lots of people went through, where they wake up and they're on the physical plane. And it's common sense. If you think about it, it's not that complicated. Example, why does a soul surrender, you know, itself and surround itself to a mother and father? Look at the castles in Europe, okay? Most of the German castles, especially up in the Carpathian Mountains in Hungary and in Yugoslavia, the castles that are there are very, very, very large structures, not built in one lifetime, built in many, many, many lifetimes, because the master soul would continually reincarnate again and again and again into the family structure. And this is what the desire was of that family, because the most powerful unit of energy, and we've said it many times on this show, energy cannot be created, energy cannot be destroyed, but the most powerful unit of energy, and think about it, is the family unit. What is more awesome than the power of a family? what, you know, if God is for real and we have our freedom, what can extend beyond the family unit? We have our brothers and our sisters and our mothers and fathers, and this feeling goes on and on and on again, and it grows. So applying that knowledge, which is what the Tibetans teach us about, which is what I was talking about yesterday in the synthesizing of the Eastern and the Western philosophies, it's not so hard to see how that works. You know, it works in Europe. Europe is a very strong culture. When scientists, for example, want to look at negative ionization, we look at cultures. We look at the effects, for example, of the full moon and the new moon on civilization. We looked at the Shirav, the Hamsun, you know, all the different names that have been given to the witches' winds over centuries. And we look at the reactions of people. Like, for example, in Turkey, there are laws that are 1,000 years old saying that if crimes are committed, you know, during the full moon or during the Shirav over there, there's a certain leniency given on the court to the person, the offender, you know, because of this condition, which produces high serotonin levels. So we look at cultures that have shown us a lot. In America, you know, America is a very dear country to me, being an American. But unfortunately, what we lack in this country is culture. We really lack reflection on our ancestry, and we should respect that, because if our ancestors didn't exist, we wouldn't exist. And so when you get into the philosophies of abortion and that, what you're doing when you take that place, first of all, when you do an abortion, you are removing that oversoul, that overshadowing energy, back to the cosmos. You're not getting rid of it. It will sit there and wait for another opportunity, and it will come again and again until it is finally allowed to express itself. But you're also saying that, you know, you're not accepting responsibility of the parenthood that brought you into this world. Like, you know, like Jim, I'm sure somebody changed your diapers, right, when you were a kid?
No, I was very prolific as a... Of course.
Yeah, right, me too.
I don't remember it, though.
Yeah, well, you should. I mean, you were a mess. I remember it. But anyway, all kidding aside, you know, karma, the art of sacrifice, right? You know, it's like I have a daughter that's 5, and I didn't have any problem changing her diapers when she made a mess out of them. I had no problem because I was doing for her what my parents did for me. You know, if anything, I was getting rid of this karmic obligation that I had, because when somebody serves you, you learn in the art of service to relinquish that energy. Now, of course, being a scientist, I had shortcuts. You know, I never changed diapers, you know, like the average person does. If she did the big number 2 in the diapers, I put her in the sink and turned the water on at a nice level where it was comfortable and flushed it all down the garbage disposal. I mean, there's scientific methods that you can use here. The fact is, I honored that responsibility. You know?
It sounds very assembly-like.
Yeah, it was that way. But anyway, what we were talking about yesterday was setting up the systems in the house. Remember that? And I think I better get back to the subject here before I get rid of the whole program.
That's okay. I enjoy just listening to you.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, listen to you a little bit, you know. I enjoyed the chariot conversations earlier today, and I just had to get into that feeling, you know, because obviously Kimberly wanted us to, you know. She created a whole thing for the rest of the day, which is okay. I accept that, because maybe I'll do that tomorrow, you know.
No, now you can choose to react to that situation any way you want to.
Yeah, I know. You know, as we talk, it gets darker and darker down here. Maybe we're going to have an earthquake in a few minutes.
Is there a large dark cloud moving over Laguna now? Or?
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
the mothership.
Starting about 10:30, you know, it actually got crazy. I was expecting the rain any minute down here, you know.
I want to stop for just a second and remind everyone they are listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. On this Tuesday morning, we do this Monday through Friday between 11 o'clock and 11:30 on your talk alternative. Dr. Bell, now, are you sure there is not a mothership in that cloud?
Well, I'll tell you, in another month or so, I wouldn't argue with that, you know. And it won't be too long before we see a few of those around here. Like, I think the one that our beloved friend the other day saw, you know, the one back east.
Which one are we talking
about? Alan Hynek.
Oh, Dr. Hynek's report of the flap back in upstate New York and Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it was funny. That's where he had, you know, he was like a, I remember when he was contracted by the Air Force, because I was in the Air Force. And it was amazing because he was the number one skeptic. I mean, that guy could explain away a sighting in a swamp gas. And me, being from Ann Arbor, Michigan, had seen lots of swamp gas. And I'd also seen lots of big, huge, you know, radio telescopes set in the swamps, which would be a feature attraction for a UFO.
Well, you know, Dr. Hynek never really said that UFOs were swamp gas.
No. He did in the very beginning. In the very beginning, he did. And then he had an experience at Marymount College back east in Connecticut, where he went in to investigate a UFO sighting, and, you know, while he was investigating it, they had one, and he was a witness. Well, that turned him around.
What I've got to say, in fairness to Dr. Hynek, what he has said to me when I've asked him about that, mm-hmm. he claims that there was a press conference being held, and, of course, he had to explain these massive sightings there in Michigan.
Right.
And so he was up against the wall, and he said it is possible that some of these sightings might just be swamp gas.
I mean, right.
He really hedged his bet there. And then, of course, the press zipped out of the room and said, Hynek says UFO is swamp gas.
Right. Right. Well, he's over that one now.
Well, he's got a good sense of humor about that, too, by the way.
I know it. But I remember when it happened. Because I was on Project Blue Book on the back end of it. And mm-hmm. he was coming on the front end of whatever they called his project, you know. So I was like, phasing out, and he was phasing in. It was a real interesting thing. But the stuff that we've been talking about with the systems, where I started to explain the alignment yesterday, you know, remember how we drew the circle and did all that?
Yes.
That information came to me through extraterrestrial sources, and because I could have never thought this up. I'm not that creative. But having, you know, created this type of equipment and having spread it all over the face of this planet, because it's literally in every country right now, and then having seen the results of it, it's just totally awesome. And I just want to share that with you, you know. But we were talking yesterday about the Systems 3 and setting it up. You know, remember how I described making a 10-foot circle?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And in the 10-foot circle, we had drawn a north and south line with a compass, and we marked the point where the line intersected the circle at the north with T1. And then on that same line between north and south, we had drawn a 52-degree angle, called that T2. And we had drawn one off of that, called it T3. And what we had discussed yesterday was the fact pyramid, if you took the angle of the side of the pyramid and divided by 7, you would have, you know, the actual 7 divisions in a circle. So you'd have 7... you know, concentric or even divisions in a circle. And what happens is, when you know, I explained yesterday about how we put up the irradiators, those tall columns, and the unit that went on the bottom, and they were filled with crystals. And what happens is, when you set or put a structure like that up in your living room or wherever, it immediately becomes attuned to the rotation of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's aligned, see, all you have to do to get into this cosmic energy, or whatever you want to call it, you know, if you can call it terrestrial energy, all you have to do is set up a structure that is resonant to the frequencies of gravity and set the structure up in alignment with the motion of the Earth and the Moon and the Sun and all the other things that happen. So that's precisely what we do when we set one of our systems up.
Dr. Bell, excuse me for interrupting, but I have been handed a note that I think I should announce, and that is that your seminar will be November 15th at 7:30 p.m. at the Unity by the Sea Church, I guess that is, at 1245 4th Street in Santa Monica. Now, did you even know that?
Yeah, I had it here, as a matter of fact. I'm glad you remind me, and little Debbie's on her way in. She's probably listening to us right now. She's not there already.
She is already here. I see her
smiling
visage through the glass. So that is the seminar, November 15th, 7:30 p.m. at Unity by the Sea, 1245 4th Street in Santa Monica. And do people make reservations for that?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, when Debbie Kenna comes on the air, she's going to explain it all, and I'm going to listen.
Okay. you just show up and do your thing, right?
Yeah. I'm the peripheral scientist out here, and the fringe is waiting for Miss Goddess to tell me when and where I'm supposed to appear.
Okay.
And I guarantee I'll be there, but it says the corner
on time, right? You'll be there on time, too, right?
Yeah, I guarantee I won't be late like the last
one. The last one, I was sweating it out.
But I got there.
Yes, you did, and you had quite a...
Not only that, when I got there, we kept it going, and you guys all fell asleep in the back, and then we just kept on going, you know?
Now, wait a minute. We had a good time there. You know, we've got a phone call for you. Let's go to the phone lines right now.
Okay.
On line six, we've got Greg. Greg, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Greg?
Good. I'm doing good, Fred.
Oh, good.
I know you get a lot of compliments about your systems and things, and I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I've been wearing this one pyramid on my head now for a couple months.
2 months? Which one?
You know, I don't even know.
Well, is it real lightweight or is it heavy?
It's light.
Oh, it's a titanium one, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I bought one from you at the last seminar, and
okay.
I loaned it to a friend of mine who's an acupuncturist.
Right.
And he charges pendulum with it.
Right.
So he wouldn't give it back to me. So I'm borrowing one from Olivia. If you remember her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say that I've gone through more growth, you know, with this thing. I feel so much more connected to the higher energies, and so much more.
You will. You know, like I was saying, it's the very first part of our show. I used to have to take drugs, you know, like psilocybin and LSD back in the late 60s, early 70s to get high. And then suddenly I discovered somewhere along the way when Ralph Metzner came back from India and Timothy O'Leary got really, you know, balanced out, that you don't have to get high, you just be high. And one of the things about wearing the pyramid is it naturally brings your body up to a higher level of vibration. It's like the system we've been talking about.
Right.
Yeah, the system is like 10,000 times what wearing that pyramid is. But I wore, you know, one of the few people told me, one of the perpetuators of this knowledge was the guy up north does a spirulina, you know, Christopher Hill. And he has some comment, you know, he's a great spirulina man and a great pendulum man. He doesn't know anything about pyramids because he came out with this stuff about negative green, right? Which was nothing more than a positive ion created by a plastic or aluminum framed pyramid. So to disprove what people were saying about pyramids, I wore every single day of my life for 8 years a pyramid on my head. I was never seen in the home, out of the home, or in public without my pyramid. I did it for 8 years to prove the point. I have a 5-year-old daughter that was born in one.
You
must... tell you, the bottom line of pyramid is it raises consciousness very quickly.
Last week, I've been doubling up on my vitamins lately, and I've been wearing this thing. And last week, I left here Friday with so much energy, I felt like I was going into outer space.
Yeah, you got to be careful because what'll happen is you'll get so high and so confident within within your own nature that you won't relate to people properly. So don't get too far out there. It's not
okay.
Hard to do, believe me, I know. I've been.
But how do you control all this energy when you're amplifying it 10 times, with the assistants in the house?
If your lifestyle will allow it to perpetuate, you will automatically attract to you people of the same energy field. If your lifestyle will not allow that, you'll become isolated. So isolation will bring you back by itself. It speaks, you know, to nature and a voice within itself. But, you know, you might meet some really neat people.
Yeah, well, you know, I used to design antennas for aircraft.
Did you?
Yeah. And what was really fascinating for me was that when I read about your pyramids, that they're actually antennas.
Oh, yeah. NASA came out with what's called a tech brief back about 1969 showing how that you could take a pyramid structure in a grid system connected to a diode and a capacitor and get electricity from it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I used to sit there...
a lot of work with pyramids. They're using pyramids now. They used it for ESP experiments on the first moonwalk, too, but this is the kind of stuff the public never really got into, you know, they didn't really talk about
it. Right. So I guess the frequency generator then you said is the vibration of gravity?
Well, no. What it allows you, the pyramids are all the way across the spectrum of color, and
right.
The pyramid feeds the hydrogen atom within the body. So what it does is allow you, your conscious mind, to become aware of, you know, similar harmonious vibrations, and one of them could be gravity. So what it does is it raises awareness so that you can become more scientific or whatever.
can you physically like measure gain patterns off these things?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No problem at all. It's done with biofeedback equipment. One of the best pieces of equipment that I've ever done was an EMG, electromyograph, which measures the amount of electricity coming from the brain to a particular muscle in the body. And when you put a pyramid on, the EMG readings go up substantially. This is this is considered orthodox medical equipment.
And Greg and Dr. Bell, we're going to have to move along. Greg, by the way, I got your letter the other day.
Great.
Thank you very much. It was very complimentary.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I'd like to compliment all of you because you do such a good job. And I've really changed my life, really seriously, since this show. I've gone through so many great changes. That's why I just wanted to call Dr. Bell and tell him that I just feel so much more connected. I think I've gone through more growth in the last 2 years, and I've been trying to shake a lot of negativity for the past 5 years. And with this thing on my head, I just really suddenly just feel not connected to all that negative stuff at all.
Right. It's exactly the way it works.
And your seminar is right up near my house, so I'll be seeing you up there later next month.
Okay.
Great.
Greg, thank you very much. And Dr. Bell, we're just about out of time.
Well, we had fun today, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We hit a number of topics, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
This is what you call a kickback day.
Now, let's give your address so that people can get a hold of you.
Okay, it's 891 Santa Ana Street in Laguna Beach, and the zip is 92651. And the phone number down here is area code 714-499-2603.
So that is the phone number and the address if you're interested in finding out about Excalibur. The synergistic vitamin, if you're interested in finding out about pyramids, nuclear receptors, any of your products, right?
Any of them, all the way up to time travel, you know.
And when is Death of Ignorance going to be back?
Well, we got our Xerox, our 1048 in a week ago. It doesn't work. It's a new machine. It prints both sides, 50, you know, copies per minute. So as soon as Xerox finishes up my machine, we're ready to go on it. So I would say realistically about 45 more days now.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. And Dr. Bell, we'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Bye-bye. Oh, can you hold on a second? As a matter of fact, somebody wants to talk to you, I think.
Yeah, we're going
to
go over the bounds here, huh?
You hold on, but you hold on. I think somebody's going to grab the line, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So that ended that, and the phone number is not quite right on that one. It's 949-499-2603. They changed area codes on us from 714 to 949, and it's kind of funny because back in those days, Orange County was so wide open, and there was just hardly any houses around, and it was so neat. And now it's like downtown Manhattan now. Anyhow, we'll catch you next Thursday.